Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 22nd day of November 2019. And we are thrilled to have back, for the second day in a row, Reverend Jeff Thomas, who, beginning in 1965, served for over 50 years as pastor at Alfred Place Baptist Church of Aberystwyth, Wales. And today we are going to be addressing his new booklet, published by Reformation Heritage Books, How Can I Please God in Everything? And this is a part of Reformation Heritage Books' Cultivating Biblical Godliness series. And it's my honor and privilege and joy to welcome you back for the second day in a row, Reverend Jeff Thomas.
It's an honor to be with you, my dear friend.
Amen. And for some reason, the clarity and crystal clearness of your phone connection is light years better than yesterday. I don't know why.
Well, I haven't been gargling anyway.
Well, we did this yesterday, but there may be some who have tuned in to our interview for the first time and did not hear you yesterday. Can you please let our listeners know something about Alfred Place Baptist Church of Aberystwyth, Wales, where you served for over 50 years as pastor?
Well, yeah, I was, my mother was a believer, my father weaker, but going to church. I was saved in ordinary conversion, 1954, one Sunday night, knew that the Lord had loved me and given himself for me. From that time, sought Christian fellowship, read Christian books, went to university, and then went on to a seminary at Westminster, graduated in 64 and 65. They called me to this university town, 20,000 people, 10,000 of whom are students, and went to the church there, and we began to reform and revive the work of God in that place. And my three daughters loved it, my wife loved it, her only sister lived there, and we were very happy there for 50 years. Then, you know, I was approaching 80, and it was time then for me to retire and to do other things right. And I married again when my first wife died, and I'm happily married to Barbara now, and we live in London, and we travel, and we're coming to New York in a month's time, and we're going to see you then.
Amen.
Chris, and that's, we're looking forward to that.
Yes, that's the Foundations Conference in New York City, Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th. And we will be giving you more details on that momentarily. It is such a providential blessing to hear of your second marriage after your first wife went home to eternity with Christ. This friend of yours, Barbara, has been a longtime friend, I understand, and she never married until she married you, which is quite remarkable.
It is remarkable, yes. And I won't make any jokes about that.
Well, if anybody is ever going to be either visiting Aberystwyth, Wales, or you have family, friends, and loved ones near there, The website for Alfred Place Baptist Church is alfredplacechurch.org.uk, alfredplacechurch.org.uk. And I can tell, or perhaps I'm wrong, but I'm fairly certain from your accent that you are not a native Welsh brother in Christ. You are from England, aren't you, originally?
No. But my 3 years in Philadelphia, it gave me a mid-Atlantic tinge to my accent.
Oh, so you are Welsh.
I'm Welsh, and I speak Welsh and preach in Welsh, too, as I did at a minister's conference in Bala just a month ago, gave 2 messages in the old Welsh language.
And now, which Westminster Seminary did you attend?
Oh, Philadelphia. Will Chantry and I were students together there.
Oh, the pastor of the church where I am now a member for 40 years before retiring. Yes, I'm a member. Yes. I'm a member of Grace Baptist Church here in Carlisle.
There we are. I love to preach there. It's a lovely congregation to visit. And I've known all your previous ministers.
Now, how did you get a British accent from going to seminary in the United States?
Well, I think just trying to be articulate and to communicate, and I've been 3 times in America this year, and you need then to be able to speak lucidly and clearly that people in your great country can understand.
Okay, great. Well, the book that we are addressing today is How Can I Please God in Everything? And it's an interesting title because the booklet is a very brief booklet. How can you fit everything in there?
Yes, quite so. Well, it came to me when I was reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I came to verse 9. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, alive or dead, we make it our goal to please him. And that's what I thought about. And you know, Chris, so you meet these summaries that just simplify and compress the Christian message. For example, 3 things I want to put on the epitaph on my gravestone under the reference to my wife who is there already, and there's a space, and I want 9 words, 3 things to be said in that space. Firstly, God created me. Secondly, sin ruined me. Thirdly, grace restored me. And there it is.
Amen.
A summary like that of the gospel, or you know, there's John Wesley, the sevenfold exhortation, the famous exhortation he gave to Christians about living the Christian life. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, at all the times you can, as long as ever you can.
Amen.
And that's a brilliant summary again, isn't it, Chris, of how we should be pleasing God in everything.
Amen. And I'm going to give our listeners our email address right now. If you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Reverend Jeff Thomas, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And by the way, I want to thank you so much from the very depths of my heart, Reverend Thomas, for the wonderful commendation that you wrote for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, which is now proudly adorning my website in the commendation section, along with your photograph. And it's a commendation I will certainly treasure as one of my most valuable commendations I've ever received. And so thorough and lengthy and just very heart moving and so on. I just really thank you, and I can't thank you enough.
Well, it was spoken and written sincerely enough. You have the grace to relax the people you invite to appear on this program, and you make it easy for us to speak about our Savior to all who listen.
Amen. Thank you so much. One of the things I wanted to ask you about this booklet, How Can I Please God and Everything, although it is probably a minority view today in the 21st century because of, unfortunately, the sins of easy believism and cheap grace and licentious living by many who profess to be Christians, even who are in the pulpit. Although this is not what I'm going to say, a dominant problem as it may have been years ago. In fact, it was without question quite a while ago. But there were churches, as you know, and they still exist, where legalism is so heavy that pleasing God in everything to some people is an arduous and nightmarish and depressing journey where they are on a treadmill in their minds trying to please God, and they are failing over and over again, and they feel as if God has abandoned them, or they feel that if they are not performing to maximum capacity, God will abandon them. Can you give our listeners, especially those who are among the minority today who are underneath that error of thinking, to give them assurance that this is not what you are trying to promote in this booklet, where you are trying to instill fear, although there is a need for God-fearing, a God-fearing mindset in all of us, but at the same time, we shouldn't be living in constant terror, constantly thinking that we are displeasing God. If you could perhaps elaborate on what I just said.
Well, you know, the Pauline approach and our Lord's approach to the Christian life. There is the two halves of it. There's firstly all that Jesus Christ has accomplished by his incarnation, by his righteous life, by making atonement for our sins, by becoming the Lamb of God and dealing with our guilt, by propitiating the wrath of a sin-hating God by giving himself in our place penally as our substitute to reconcile the God who hates sin to people who drink sin like water. And he has done that by, as the infinite, eternal one who has taken frail flesh and lived amongst us and died for us. He has then paid the price, cleared the guilt and the shame, dealt with it. And the consequences of that then, you know what Isaac Watts says, love so amazing, so divine, it demands my soul, my life, my all. I please God in everything then, because of what he has done for me. And so you have the letter to the Romans, 11 chapters describing the glorious accomplishments of Jesus Christ. And then you have chapter 12, therefore, in the light of all this, what are we to do? We present our bodies as living sacrifices to him, as our spiritual worship, as our reasonable service. And then 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, those chapters are full of practical counsel, specifying the consequences of living with Christ, having illimitable access to an indwelling Savior, so that we can say, I can do these things. I can do all things through Christ, all that he demands of me. The Christian life is not hopelessly idealistic. so that we just admire it and think it's impossible to live like that. No, we can do it. He can enable us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling so that we can please God in all the things that he wants. We can climb any mountain. We can ford any river in flood. We can overcome any temptation. We can carry any burden. We can do so because it is I, but no longer I. Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, so that there's no excuse for us sinning, and no excuse for us to say, well, that's just impossible. The Lord Jesus was an archetypal man, God's great definition of what a man is. He was bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, but look how he lived, and we're told he left us an example that we should walk in his steps. So we can do it. We can please God in everything. And we do it then. He makes us willing. He gives us a desire. He gives us grace to believe that though we, at the end of every day, we have to say, I'm sorry, Lord, about today. I'm sorry that I was so foolish, that I hurt the people who love me the most. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. We have to say that every day, and we believe where our sin abounds, God's grace much more is abundant and forgives and picks us up 7 times a day when we fall and helps us. So there is no need for us to say, I can't go on like this. I can't live the Christian life. I sin too much. Of course we sin. And as we go on in the Christian life, we realize more and more just how sinful we are. But we, by the grace of God, find abundant pardon. And marvelous mercy comes to us to help us and keep us day by day.
Amen. We have an anonymous listener. The anonymous listener asks, I have Roman Catholic friends and family members, as well as those who are in extreme Pentecostal churches, who tell me that the only way anyone will maintain an obedient life is if they are fearful of losing their salvation, because doing good works, if they not have some sort of merit behind them into entering into heaven, they are useless and unnecessary. Can you give me some advice on how to answer these friends and family members who believe that only the fear of losing your salvation will enable you to maintain good works throughout your life?
Well, it seems to me transparently clear in the New Testament that someone that God has loved from all eternity, that he has given to his Son, Jesus Christ, to live for and die for, whom he prays for at God's right hand, that Jesus says, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. That the apostle says, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's a golden chain of salvation that whom God foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. These things are transparently clear and affirmed again and again. Now, not all who make a profession, the parable of the sower makes that transparently clear. There's some initial response, which is emotional and brief. There is another response that is longer lasting, but it comes to an end. The weeds, the cares of this world, take us away from trusting in the Lord. So not all who profess, not all who say, Lord, Lord, are going to go to heaven. So I'm not saying once saved, always saved, but I'm saying all those into whose life a new birth has come, who've been given a new heart, who have been joined to Jesus Christ with bonds that nothing can break, that such will be kept by God. And that means then we say, Lord, I made a mess of things, I've been prodigal, I've gone off and I'm now eating the stuff that the pigs eat in a distant country. But you're so loving a father, and you can forgive me. And we go and we say how sorry we are, and we say to the people that we've hurt how sorry we are. And there is restoring grace to God. And that comes from the confidence we have that what Jesus has said, that if he begins a good work in us, he will continue and perform that work until the day when we see him. We have to trust him. And our encouragement then isn't that we'll go to hell. We can lose our salvation. Our encouragement is that he will keep me fast because he loves me so much. He will hold me tight in his arms, and he'll draw me back, and he'll lift me up, and he'll help me in the Christian life.
Amen. And just to clarify something, I know that you said just moments ago that you do not like the phrase, or you didn't phrase it exactly as I am saying it now, but you dismissed the concept of once saved, always saved. Now, I know that being a thoroughgoing Calvinist that you are, that you believe in perseverance and preservation of the saints, which is the doctrine that the name or title for the doctrine of the inability for a true Christian to lose his or her salvation. We prefer that title because it's more descriptive and sufficient in what we believe about that issue. But would you say that the reason why you and many other theologically reformed Christians do not like the once saved, always saved title for this is because it gives the impression that once you think you're saved, you really are saved and always will be? And that's where the problem comes in, is where people think they're saved very often because they've been told that by going forward at an invitation, at a crusade, or after a worship service. But in reality, they're just as lost as they were before they started walking down that aisle. Am I right? Is this your concern with that phrase, once saved, always saved?
That is exactly it, Chris. That sums up my concern about once you've made a decision, you're all right. That people are understanding it in that way. I walk the aisle, I raise my hand, the bishop put his hands on my head, I took the wafer, I knelt down at the penitence bench, and because I did those things once on a day some years ago, I'm all right. I don't have to worry about anything else. Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because God is working in you. It's like a lovely story, a lovely illustration, which Peter Jeffrey, who's been on this program, the late Peter Jeffrey, had a wonderful facility with illustration. And he talks about a drowning man and how God pulls him ashore, but the shore is a steep cliff. And Christ is at the top of the cliff, and he lets down a rope, and he ties that rope around this weak, drowning man's chest. And he says to him, now you climb, and I will pull. And that's what God says to every single Christian. From the time he delivers them from the fearful pit of guilt and shame and the miry clay and sets their feet on the rock, now there's a journey. There's a great mountain that we have to climb. There's a path that goes through Giant Despair's castle and Vanity Fair and fighting with Apollyon and the swamp of doubt. And he says, keep going now. Keep going. As you keep going, I'll be there. I'll be strengthening you. I'll be helping you. And it's that battle, it's that fight of faith that seems to me to be totally ignored if you just say, well, if you've been saved, then it's all right forever. It's all right forever if we keep day by day looking to him and say, Lord, help me now. Give me grace now. Help me in the broadcast. Help me to think clearly. Help me with Barbara. Help me to show my love for my wife and be more patient and sweet, and help me to be a good witness to Jesus Christ. Help me to kill remaining sin. Help me to pray more than I do and more earnestly. Help me to be unashamed of the gospel and to give a reason to anyone that asks me, to be ready to give a reason to anyone who asks me. And it's that spirit of holy desire to please him that are the marks then of the person who's truly been saved by grace.
Amen. And when we come back from our very first break that we have to go to momentarily, I'd like you to give us some practical counsel on how a Christian can better serve Christ and please him in everything that we do every day. And obviously, knowing that we are all sinners this side of glory, and we will never completely successfully please God in everything that we do, but that must be the goal. That must be what we strive for. And then perhaps you have some practical counsel that you can provide. If anybody else would like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And by the way, anonymous listener, if you provide for me, obviously off the air, no one else will see it. If you email me your name and mailing address, you will get a free copy of the book that we are addressing today, How Can I Please God in Everything? So send me an email with your complete name and your full mailing address, and we will have that shipped out to you as soon as possible by cvbbs.com.
Hi, I'm Stefan Limbleck, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers that strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ. Today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in today, our guest for the full 2 hours, and this is the second day in a row that we have our dear brother Jeff Thomas on the program. Jeff Thomas, who was until recent retirement, pastor of Alfred Place Baptist Church of Aberystwyth, Wales, and for 50 years he served there, and very rarely do you ever hear of a pastor serving the same church for that many decades. And now he is blessing the body of Christ as an itinerant evangelist, a conference speaker, an author, and we are in such a state of joy to have him for 2 days in a row here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, C-H-R-I-S-A-R-N-Z-E-N@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if it's a personal and private question that you have for our guest, Reverend Jeff Thomas. And as I said before the break, Reverend Thomas, I asked you if you could please give us perhaps some practical counsel, advice on improving our walk with Christ, making it more pleasing to Him, as is the theme of your booklet, How Can I Please God in Everything?
Okay, I'd love to do that. Thank you for asking me. There's nothing I'd rather talk about now than those things. Firstly, sit under the best ministry you can, so that you're hearing the Word of God preached and applied, correcting, instructing, encouraging you. Read the best books. Publishing house, Reformation Heritage Books, Banner of Truth Books, excellent publishers. Read the books they publish.
I have to throw in there a Solid Ground Christian Book, since they're a sponsor of the program, Mike Adosh's ministry.
You really need to do that, thank you. That's exactly it. And keep the best company that you can. You know, people who grow wise do so by mixing with wise people. Then, secondly, consider often the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Consider them because they are before you. They are tomorrow. Maybe literally tomorrow. Our life goes by like a weaver's shutter, the Bible says. Like a dream, it's gone. When I was a little boy, 8 years of age, I would think 80 was just a huge span of time away. I want to say to you, it's a moment. Thirdly, get the light of your life from the Son of Righteousness, from Jesus Christ, who said, I'm the light of the world. I was speaking to my dear cousin. He's a carpenter. He's not a Christian, but I write to him and speak to him. And I had a meeting on. I said, I've got to go now. I put my coat on. I've got to preach at 7:30. Tonight, it was a Wednesday special meeting. And just as I was doing that, he said to me, what do you say to a man who says to you, I've seen the light? What does he mean when he says to you, I've seen the light? Oh, why didn't he ask me that question an hour earlier? I had a minute before I had to jump in the car and shoot off to preach. I said to him, here's a man who has seen that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And the darkness that was in his mind, that was in his understanding, has started to disappear as he understands who God is, why the world is in the state it's in, how he can be changed, how he can be lifted up. Get the light for your life from the light of the world. Fourthly, be willing to do without what God is unwilling to give you, or what he has been unwilling to give you so far. You know, when we ask God for something, we believe as Christians, he either gives us what we ask for, or he gives us something better. So be willing to do without what God has been unwilling to give you. Fifthly, crucify your sins that have crucified your Savior. Don't give them tidbits. Don't go to that website. Don't read that magazine. Beware of those things. Rather, put them to death, because they put to death your Lord and Savior. Sixthly, bless God most of all. Not your church, not your pastor, not your family, but say, thank you, God, at the end of every day, because he's been the author of all the good things. He's blessed you the most. Seventhly, don't be afraid of men. What are men? They are shrimps. They just live a little while and they die and they are weak. But our King the Son of Man. He is all-powerful.
Amen.
Eight, keep closest to the choicest truths, the great truths. Don't major in the minors. Don't be fussed about arguments about the millennium and the great tribulations that lie before us. Difficult things, perplexing things. Keep close to who God is, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And Jesus Christ as prophet, priest, and king, the Holy Spirit, the life-giver, the sanctifier. Keep close to those truths. Nine, know yourself. And you know yourself by going to the Bible. It's a mirror, and it shows us who we are. Show me myself and show me my Savior, you say, as you read the Bible. 10, do good in the world with the goods of this world. Remember the three exhortations of John Wesley. Earn all you can. Give all you can. Save all you can. Do good in the world with the goods of this world. 11, improve the time. It's yours only for a time. This day will never be repeated. This year, how speedily it's gone by. A new year will begin. Make your days count for Jesus. 12, learn humility from Christ's humility. He was the infinite and eternal and all-glorious God, and yet he spotted the stinking feet, and he got the jug of water and the towel and washed 24 feet, shaming the men who it was too much for them to do that. 13, be a thorough Christian. This one thing I do, make your life count for Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, do it with all your might. 14, give God your heart in all you do. Your leisure, your pursuits, your hobbies, the necessary work that you have to do in the home every day. Give God your heart in all those things. 15, use God's means. But don't idolize them. Oh, thank God that you've got a mind. Thank God that you're physically strong enough to do what you can. Thank God that you've got a brotherhood of men that you can go off with and have breakfast with. And you think the world of them. Don't make idols of them. Thank God for the means he's given to help you. Take nothing on trust, but all on trial from men. We've all been hurt by men. By men we regarded highly and thought they were godlike, but they let us down. You be wise in your relationships with men. 17, take those reproofs best that you need the most. We all need exhortations about patience and about gentleness and kindness and forgiveness and all the humblings that God brings into our lives. Take them. You need them. 18, strive more for inward holiness than outward happiness. So often our hearts break, and then the one comfort I get is that God can use these testings to make me, wean me from the world and give me more and more anticipation for a better world, a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Strive for that inward peace. 19, live in love. Love is the greatest of all. You know, in counseling, when people are having a rough time in their marriages, oh, explain to them what love is and what God can do in shedding his love upon our hearts. And don't love in word only, but love in deed. And finally, set out for God. When you begin, set out saying, this one thing, I will set the Lord at my right hand. Always he'll be there at my right hand. When I begin, I take my first steps with my Savior. And I hold on to him with God until the very end. Every day when I get up, you know, John Stott would sit on the edge of his bed and he'd give his mind to God. And he'd give his affections. And he'd give his strength. And he'd give his arms and his legs. And he'd present his body. And he'd give it to God. And that's where we begin the day, every day. And we hold on to God until the end. So those were would be some practical counsels I would give that would help us to please God in everything.
Wow, that would be a phenomenal poster, a really large poster to put that list, I mean, to put even on your door, the inside of your door before you leave your home every day, or even on your ceiling above your bed, or somewhere somewhere in your prayer closet, wherever you have a prayer closet. That is an extraordinary list that everyone should live by. And we do have another anonymous listener who says, for the benefit of our gatherings over Thanksgiving, I was wondering what counsel you might provide on how we can maintain a godly, warm, loving, and welcoming manner with our friends and loved ones with whom we will be gathering, but at the same time, not appear as if we are approving of or accepting some of their absolutely abhorrent ideology that may even be so dark it's on the level of being satanic. I am thinking of people in our family that may be zealous pro-abortion activists and things like that. How can we maintain a warm, friendly, and even ironic and joyful atmosphere in our homes when we may even involuntarily have discussions about these things?
Well, my brother, you have the same Heavenly Father that I have, and you pull that out before him and you say, Lord, help me. Give me much wisdom. Give me much patience. Help me to be a natural human being and to take pleasure in the gifts of creation that you have so abundantly given to us, a lovely meal and delight in family fun together, a few games that we play together, and the pleasure of companionship. And you start with that, and your eyes, although they are there looking at these friends around and seeing how they behave, your eyes are always kept on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's what you do. The one who died for you and rose from you and now is praying for you. And he's saying, Father, here's one of the children you gave me that I've saved and I'm looking after. And he's got some problems at the present time. This day, he's not where he would like to be. And the conversation isn't always what pleases him. Give him sweetness and grace, a forgiving spirit, a holy righteousness, so that these men, when they would tell stories that are unseemly and cruel and are thoughtless, that they are checked so that the atmosphere and the holy fun that you have with one another at such a lovely time as Thanksgiving, that is maintained, and they look forward to coming again. We so rarely have a chance of meeting some relations, and Thanksgiving is one of them. And you don't want the reputation of a killjoy you also don't want the reputation of someone who is praising the virtues but practicing the vices. We hate sin, and we ask God to help us to be like Jesus, to be as holy and as approachable and as loving and as zealous for the honor of God as he was. The Lord help you, and he will, as he has so far.
Amen. And once again, anonymous listener, if you provide me with your full name and full mailing address, as long as you live in the United States, by the way, you will receive a free copy of the book, or booklet, I should say, How Can I Please God and Everything, by Peter, I was just about to say Peter Jeffrey, because he brought our dear brother up before, our dear brother who's in eternity with Christ right now, by Jeff Thomas, and CVBBS.com will ship that out to you at no cost to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron. And we thank Reformation Heritage Books for providing us with these copies of this excellent booklet. And I would like to ask you a couple of follow-up questions on that excellent question that our anonymous listener submitted. And perhaps I'll start with one, and you could answer it when we come back from the break, because we have to go to our midway station break. But is it our duty as a Christian, if we are gathered with loved ones who are lost, is it our duty to be constantly rebuking them and correcting them, for instance, if they're peppering their conversation with a long stream of profanities, perhaps, is once perhaps enough to say, could you please refrain from that kind of talk during the meal? Or should we say anything at all in that regard to act in their minds as if we are holier than thou, quote, quote? But we'll have you answer that and my other question that I came to my mind when listening, when reading the anonymous listener's question. And we're going to our midway break right now. And please, folks, remember, this is a required longer break than normal that we have. That is a requirement of the FCC in order to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, airs this program twice a day in pre-recorded format, once in morning drive and once in the evening. And while they air their own public service announcements and other things that localize the program to Lake City, Florida, we air our own globally heard commercials. So if you could use this time wisely and write down as much of the information as you can provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently patronize them. So, and keep in mind, when you do that, you are further ensuring that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio will have a longer future, because we depend upon our advertisers to exist. And if you patronize them enough, they are more likely to stick around as our sponsors. So keep that in mind. Write down the information provided by our advertisers, but also write down questions for Jeff Thomas about the subject that we are addressing today. His new book, published by Reformation Heritage Books, How Can I Please God in Everything? So that email address again is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away, God willing. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors with more of Jeff Thomas and How Can I Please God in Everything?
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnson and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Eric Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vody Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnson at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm so grateful to our sovereign God that while manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron, a major Bible conference, I providentially met Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church, just south of Jacksonville, Florida, right off I-95 in St. Johns County. Andrew is certainly the kind of pastor that is a perfect match for my radio show and has already proven to be an ideal guest. Christ Reformed Community Church shares my conviction that God is both creator and sustainer of the universe.
He rules and reigns providentially over our lives. He directs not only the historical events of the world, but also the personal events of individuals. I agree with Christ Reformed Community Church that the very purpose of the church is to make disciples, that we are tasked with the responsibility to evangelize locally, nationally, and globally, and that we are to equip the saints for the work of service. Unlike the man-centered, seeker-sensitive movement, they do not gauge the success of biblical discipleship by how many people are in a church, but by the faithful ministry of God's Word and Gospel. For more details on Christ Reformed Community Church, visit ChristReformedCC.com. That's ChristReformedCC.com. Or call 904-955-9881. That's 904-955-9881. Tell Pastor Andrew that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith, and I'd like to urge you to consider joining Christ Reformed Community Church of St. John's, Florida, in financially supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy, and currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981. 717-697-1981. Or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read.
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And always remember, folks, that we need Solid Ground Christian Books to remain as our sponsors in order for us to remain on the air. They are a crucial, a key sponsor of this program, and therefore, if you want to enable them to remain as a sponsor, please continue patronizing them by ordering as many books as possible from solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. And with all the holidays coming up and you have gifts that you'll be giving, why not give a gift that will contain a gospel message in some fashion that may be used of our Lord to lead the lost to eternal life in Christ, or even that will help encourage and edify a true believer, a brother and sister in Christ. Go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and please always remember to tell Mike Gadosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, that you heard about that ministry from Chris Arnes and an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Jeff Thomas, who happens to be a close mutual friend of Mike Gadosh, of Solid Ground Christian Books, before I return to Brother Jeff Thomas to continue our discussion on how to please God in everything, or how can I please God in everything, we have just a couple of announcements in regard to special events, and one of them includes an event where Brother Jeff Thomas will be preaching this December, next month, Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, in Manhattan. I am so excited to be once again sitting at the feet of this brother as he preaches, as I intend to be there. I've already registered for the Foundations Conference, and I just can't wait to be there, especially since it's being held in the heart of the Christmas season, and I can't think of anywhere I'd rather be for at least a portion of the Christmas season than Manhattan. And this is only for men in ministry leadership. So if you are a man in ministry leadership, please register if you'd like to join me there December 19th and 20th in Manhattan for the Foundations Conference. The speakers include Stephen J. Lawson, Paul Washer, as I said before, Reverend Jeff Thomas, Reverend Armin Tomasian, who is an unknown jewel. He is known, I think, very well amongst those brethren in his own denomination, where he serves as a pastor, the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. But outside of those circles, I think he is relatively unknown, and he is absolutely extraordinary, and I think he's going to become a household name amongst Reformed Christians in a much broader sense than his own denomination within the next decade. He is just extraordinary. Richard Colwell Jr. and Andrew Quigley are two men I'm looking forward to hear preach, because I've never heard them preach before, and I'm assuming, I think with an educated presumption, that they are also magnificent preachers, because sermonaudio.com selected them to speak at this conference, and they are very rightfully fussy and finicky, and they guard their pulpit very carefully when they have public events to represent who they are. So I'm expecting a huge blessing from those two brethren as well. If you want to join me at the Foundations Conference, Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th in New York City, if you are a man in ministry leadership, the website is thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. Then also in January, from Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, I am going to be once again present at the G3 Conference, God willing. The G3 Conference, which stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory, is one of the most monumental events that is held annually in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Georgia International Convention Center, right near the Atlanta airport just a couple of minutes by a rail service that they have that's actually connected to the conference hall to the Atlanta airport. This is actually in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta, and it is always just an extraordinary experience being there by the sheer size of the roster, the length of the roster, and the quality of the speakers on that roster. The speakers include a absolutely mind-blowing list of men, including the aforementioned Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, my friend of many years, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who is going to be, by the way, folks, God willing, my guest once again on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. He is going to be returning to this program on Wednesday, the 4th of December. So mark your calendars for James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Was so happy to hear him plug that interview on the Dividing Line yesterday. Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. Phil Johnson has the dubious reputation for being my most frequently interviewed guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio dating back to 2005. Always a joy to interview Phil. Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Radio, whose ads you've been hearing on this program. Derek Thomas, who I know is very well known by my guest today, Jeff Thomas. Derek Thomas is one of the most extraordinary preachers and teachers alive today. He is an author and a conference speaker and an itinerant evangelist and just a joy to hear preach. We have my friend Dr. Tom Askell, who I've known for many years, the executive director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry in the Southern Baptist Convention. He's also the pastor of Grace Baptist Church of Cape Coral, Florida. And there are friends of mine, personal friends, longtime personal friends who are members there. And we have Stephen J. Nichols, the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul of Ligonier Ministries. A man you've been hearing James White mention in his ads for the G3 conference is Costi Hinn. He is the nephew of the notorious charlatan and heretic Benny Hinn. And Costi doesn't mind me saying that because he says as much in and more when he is seeking to expose all of the word of faith heretics for the dangerous and deadly and damning doctrines that they deceive multitudes with in their sermons and books and so on, if you could even call them sermons. And Costi has renounced and repented of that word of faith heresy and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and a cessationist. And as you also have heard, John MacArthur himself has been added to the lineup. So if you want to join me in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th at the G3 conference, go to g3conference.com. G3conference.com. The subject this January is Worship Matters, one of the most important issues that faces every Christian. And I strongly urge you, as I have been doing every day, to register for an exhibitor's booth as well if you are a business owner or a parachurch leader or you want to promote a special event that you are running. Whatever it is that you want to promote to the body of Christ, to people in large numbers, it's a wise decision to register for a booth, an exhibitor's booth at the G3 conference, because they have over 5,000 people that regularly attend this every year. And with John MacArthur added to the lineup, my educated guess is that there will be over 6,000 people. So go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com to register. Please tell them that Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio told you about that conference. Last but not least, if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please help us with your donations. Please be as generous as you can and as frequent as you can in your donations for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because we are facing some fairly frightening days ahead of us in December. We don't have any of our bills for this program paid for December. Please, I'm urging you, if you really love the show and you have extra money, please use a portion of it by giving us a gift financially and go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now in order to do so. You could donate with a debit or credit card instantly in that way. And there will also be an address, a snail mail address that appears on the screen, where you can mail a check, if that is your preference, made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And as I warn you every day, I never want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving to the church where they are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Don't do that. And please don't put your family in financial jeopardy if you are having a very hard time making ends meet. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and providing for your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands and you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, you have money to go to sporting events and the theater and to concerts and to movies and to do all kinds of non-essential things, well, please, if you love the show and you don't want us to disappear, use a portion of that money to help us to remain on the air. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you want to advertise with us, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And remember, folks, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, please send me an email, because I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I may be able to help you find a church wherever you are. I've already helped quite a number of people in our audience from all over the world find churches where they have joined as members, or where they have visited on vacation, or where they have referred to family, friends, and loved ones who do not have biblically faithful churches. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Reverend Jeff Thomas on the theme that we are discussing today, the theme of his latest booklet by Reformation Heritage Books, How Can I Please God and Everything? That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Reverend Thomas, as I asked before the station break, could you please answer my question on how we may behave when we are visiting those whom we love, perhaps even especially if we are in their home? It's not our home where we can lay down the rules. And they are known for profanity. Perhaps may even be using the name of the Lord in vain in their conversation with us, perhaps not even intentionally in order to be offensive to us, but that's just the way that they normally speak because they are unregenerate. Are we to be constantly correcting them and saying, stop saying that, please don't do that, or should we just remain silent at times? I'm not saying that we should always remain silent when we are in the midst of that, but especially if we are in someone else's home during a holiday, how do we behave without acting as if we are approving of their sinful ways of speaking and so on?
Good. Well, now, you know, there's no formula, is there? I've thought about this so much, and I thought I will say certain words if I'm confronted with blasphemy. So 2 weeks ago, I was walking down the sidewalk in London, and a man and a woman, attractive couple in their around 40 years of age, came up, and they were walking faster than me. They got right alongside of me, and she had said something that I didn't hear. And he said loudly, "Oh my God." So I turned to him and looked at him in the face, and he was grinning. I said to him, "Do you know God?" And he then lengthened his stride and walked on. I think he'll be careful again in saying loudly, "Oh my God," because of those words. I don't know what the repercussions are going to be in that man, for that simple question that I asked him. God will help you. And then there's a wonderful story of Hudson Taylor. You know Hudson Taylor? Was the founder of Christianity, and it spread in China. He was the father of the modern extraordinary movement that just fills us all with such excitement, the spread of the gospel in China. And you know that it's not a trip on a boat or on a plane to a faraway place with a strange sounding name that makes a person a missionary. But a missionary starts by his concern for his family and his friends here in the United States, in his hometown. Hudson Taylor, when he was 21, he was assisting a London doctor by going to patients who were in their homes and ministering to them. There was one man who had senile gangrene with no hope of recovery. Every day he went to the home and dressed the stinking wound. The man was a committed atheist. He would allow no one to speak to him about religion. And when the local vicar called, he spat in his face. His temper was not under control. He's a very violent man. How did Taylor react to this man? Well, he certainly took this man's condition very seriously. This is what he says. Upon first commencing to attend him, I prayed much about it, but for 2 or 3 days said nothing of a religious nature. By special care in dressing his diseased limb, I was able considerably to lessen his sufferings, and he soon began to manifest appreciation of my services. One day, with a trembling heart, I took advantage of his grateful acknowledgments to tell him what was the spring of my action, to speak of his solemn position and need of God's mercy through Christ. It was evidently only a powerful effort of self-restraint that kept his lips closed. He turned over in bed with his back to me and uttered no word. I couldn't get the poor man out of my mind. And very often through each day, I pleaded with God by his Spirit to save him. He took him hence. After dressing the wound and relieving the pain, I never failed to say a few words to him, which I hoped the Lord would bless. He always turned his back, looking annoyed, never made any reply. After continuing this for some time, my heart sank. It seemed to me that I was not only doing no good, but perhaps really hardening him and increasing his guilt. One day, after dressing his limb and washing my hands, instead of returning to the bedside, I went to the door and stood hesitating a moment with a thought in my mind, Ephraim is joined to his idols, let him alone. Looking at my patient, I saw his surprise, as it was the first time since opening the subject that I'd attempted to leave without saying a few words from my master. I could bear it no longer. Bursting into tears, I crossed the room and said, my friend, whether you will hear or whether you will forbear, I must deliver my soul. And I went on to speak very earnestly, telling him how much I wished that he would let me pray with him. And to my unspeakable joy, he didn't turn away, but replied, if it would be a relief to you, do. I need scarcely say that, falling on my knees, I poured out my soul to God on his behalf. Then and there, I believe, the Lord wrought a change in his soul. He was never afterwards unwilling to be spoken to and prayed with, and within a few days, he definitely accepted Christ as his Savior. Ah, the joy it was to me to see that man rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. He told me that for 40 years he'd never darkened the door of a church, and that then 40 years ago he'd only entered a place of worship to be married, and couldn't be persuaded to go inside even when his wife was buried. Now, thank God, I had every reason to believe his sin-stained soul was washed, was sanctified, was justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Often in my early work in China, when circumstances rendered me almost hopeless of success, I thought of this man's conversion and have been encouraged to persevere in speaking the word, whether men would hear or whether they would forbear. The now happy sufferer lived for some time. time after this change and was never tired of bearing testimony to the grace of God.
Wow.
Well, I think that's a wonderful incident, and that's why Hudson Taylor was the great soul winner and the father of modern evangelicalism that's seen such fruit, because he was a man who persevered and cried to God that he would help him to bear witness to his Savior. And, you have the same Savior, and you can find the same strength and wisdom in what to say, whether you just ask a man passing by you, a stranger, do you know God? Or whether you can help him and serve him, and then say, I must pray with you. And the man says, yes, if it helps you, pray with me.
Wow. Praise God. We have Johnny from Queens, New York, who asks, thank you, Pastor Jeff, for such warm, experienced, wise pastoral counsel that humbles us and draws our hearts and minds to Christ. Christians struggle daily with remaining sin that threatens our assurance before God. It's difficult to bask in the joy of the Lord while being aware of much remaining corruption. How can we rest in the finished work of Christ on our behalf and deal with our besetting sins without falling into a state of melancholy, depression, and doubt? Much of today's modern counsel from sermons, books, and teaching videos sees the Christian as a victim of circumstance, the world, and the devil. Victim of circumstance, the world, and the devil. God is looked upon as a mighty, and I think our listener may have left off the end of that question or statement. God is looked upon as a mighty, and then it stopped. If you want to re-email us the rest of your question/statement, Johnny, that will be fine. But I think Jeff Thomas has enough to work with here. How can we, as he asks, rest in the finished work of Christ on our behalf and deal with our besetting sins without falling into a state of melancholy, depression, and doubt?
Good, good. I was talking to a friend last week, and he said after church a couple of weeks ago, a man came on to him who'd been coming to church now for a month or two and had professed faith in Christ, and he came with his burden. How can I be a Christian, he said. How can I be a Christian when I sin so badly? Oh, dear, I feel I've never been saved at all. And so my friend said, right, let's meet up to church. I want us to look at Romans 8, verse 1. I want us to look at 1 John and the last verses. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We look at those verses together after the service. In other words, he was a man who was discovering the subtlety and the deceitfulness of sin in his heart. 5 minutes later, a young woman came on to him. She said, I see you were talking to my brother. This is the first time I've ever been to church. I just came to find out what it was that has accomplished so staggering a change in the life of my brother. And that's why I came to hear you preach today. So, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
She was his twin. She'd been in the womb with him. She knew him like no one else knew him. Their lives had grown in parallel. He'd come to know the Lord, and he'd had a new sight of his sin. She looked at him, and she saw transformation and joy. And a new confidence in the relation of God with him as his child. And I think this brother who's expressed this this concern and knows something about what a battle with remaining sin it is in our lives, and it always will be. It will be on our deathbed. And we are saved through Christ alone. What Jesus did on the cross and how God responded to it, those two things are the only things that matter. And how you feel, and your falls, and your doubts, and your struggles, and your giving in to a sin that easily besets you, that is irrelevant. You must look to Jesus Christ, and you must find in him the complete and total answer to all your guilt and shame.
Well, excellent answer, Johnny, and hopefully, and I'm sure you are satisfied with that. And try to remember to send us complete sentences and questions from now on. I don't know why your question or comment stopped in the mid-sentence. But thank you for contributing to today's show with your question. And also, make sure we have your full mailing address, because cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, will ship you out a free copy of the booklet we are discussing, How Can I Please God in Everything, published by Reformation Heritage Books. So cvbbs.com will be shipping that out to you as soon as possible after we get your full mailing address in Queens, New York. We have Christopher in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. And Christopher says, I don't know if you ever heard or encountered in the United Kingdom an American phenomenon that was all the rave a few years ago, probably a longer time ago than a few years, but it was called the What Would Jesus Do movement, where people were wearing bracelets and perhaps t-shirts and other articles of clothing that said, What Would Jesus Do, as a daily reminder to act in obedience to God. I know that a number of Reformed Christians would mock and belittle this concept, but I'm not sure why, and I'm wondering what your view is of this.
Yes, yes. We read about it. I never saw it being practiced, the rubber bands with those initial letters on it. I never saw anyone wearing them. It appeared suddenly and caught on, and then it died. Yes, that's it is a good question, but it's not the first question that you ask. The first question the Christian asks is, what has Jesus done?
Amen.
Has he accomplished all righteousness for us? Has he made full atonement for our sins? Are we sitting and resting in the work of Christ? And that's the great thing, to be looking to Jesus when Satan oppresses us and troubles us, for us to say, ah, yes, but my faithful Savior died for me. My faithful Savior lives for me. He whispers my worthless name in the ears of my Father in heaven, and he says, Lord, bless that brother in Long Island. Lord, bless that brother in New York. Strengthen and keep him. He's battling with sin at this time. This is what Jesus is doing now for me in the light of what he has achieved upon the cross, and by his righteous life, he is now applying to me all the benefits of his grand salvation. And that's my hope, and that's my confidence. Help me, Lord. And sometimes that's the only thing. When you're having a major operation and you're recovering, all you can say is, help me, help me. And you're looking to that one whose only desire is to take us to himself, that we'll be with him forevermore when we see him, we will be like him. He'll present us full of joy to the Father. That's what Jesus will do because of what he has done. And then he's left us an example that we should be. He is our childhood's pattern day by day, like as he grew. He was weak and helpless, tears and joys like as he knew, and he leads his children on to the place where he is gone. That's what we sing in the Christmas carol, Away in a Manger, isn't it? And that's how we're to live our lives day by day, looking to him.
Amen. And we're going to our final break right now. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, please send in your question quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be back after these messages with more of Jeff Thomas. So don't go away.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnson's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnson was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on,
yeah.
Tons of great speakers, and no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnson's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, g3conference.com, g3conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. See you there.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711.
Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease. Shop at your leisure and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. At 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. If you call after those hours or before those hours, there will be no voicemail. Make sure you call between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. And just a reminder, folks, stay tuned after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over for a sermon by my very dear friend, Pastor Joe Jackowitz of Christ Bible Church in Dublin, California, who is heard preaching every day, Monday through Friday, right after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over. And we are now back with my friend and one of my favorite of all guests, Jeff Thomas. And this is our concluding segment of our discussion on How Can I Please God and Everything. And if you could... Pastor Jeff, if you could just leave our listeners with what you most want etched in their hearts and minds about this topic before this program is over.
just enormously important to not be against Christ. If you're not for him, you're against him. And if you're for him, then you please him in all things. And every Christian asks, how can I please the Lord, whether I live or die? You know, in The Cost of Commitment, John White, he cites a letter written by an American Marxist in Mexico City. He's breaking off an engagement with his fiancée. And he says, we Marxists suffer many casualties. We those whom they shoot, hang, lynch, tar and feather, imprison, slander, fire from our jobs, whose lives people make miserable in every way possible. We live in poverty. From what we earn, we turn over to the party every cent which we don't absolutely need to live. We communists have neither time nor money for concerts, nor for beautiful homes and new cars. They call us fanatics. We are fanatics. Our lives are dominated by one supreme factor, the struggle for world communism. We communists have a philosophy of life that money couldn't buy. We've a cause to fight for, a specific goal in life. We lost our insignificant identities in the great river of humanity. And if our personal lives seem hard, or if our egos seem bruised through subordination to the party, we're amply rewarded in the thought that all of us, even though it be in a very small way, are contributing something new and better for humanity. There's one thing about which I am completely in earnest, the communist cause. It's my life, my business, my religion, my hobby, my sweetheart, my wife, my mistress, my meat and drink. I work at it by day and dream of it by night. Its control over me grows greater with the passage of time. And if I can't have a friend, a lover, or even a conversation without relating them to this power that animates and controls my life, I measure people, books, ideas, and deeds according to the way they affect the communist cause and by their attitude to it. I've already been in jail for my ideas, and if need be, I am ready to face death. That's what he says. He is a man whose one goal in life is to serve the cause of Karl Marx. And our goal is to please a Savior who loved us and loved us so much that he wouldn't end the enfleshment and come down from the cross until he had paid the last penny of our great debt. And now he loves us and keeps us. And we're going to a new heavens and a new earth. And we're going to be with him forevermore. How can we not make our goal in life to please our Savior in everything we do?
Amen. Amen. And folks, I want to remind you that this book that we have been discussing, published by Reformation Heritage Books, How Can I Please God in Everything, is available at heritagebooks.org, heritagebooks.org. I would actually prefer that you purchase it from cvbbs.com because both will benefit, heritagebooks.org and cvbbs.com will both benefit if you purchase them, these books, from cvbbs.com because obviously they have to purchase the books from heritagebooks.org. So please help keep our sponsors, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Services, happy. Also, keep in mind that they have in stock the book that we discussed yesterday with Jeff Thomas, Brownlow North, The All-Around Evangelist. All you have to do, basically, is go to the search engine of cvbbs.com and type in G-E-O-F-F Thomas. That's G-E-O-F-F Thomas, and you'll have all the books that Jeff Thomas has written, and if they are out of stock, they will order them. I want to thank you so much, Jeff, for being my guest again 2 days in a row. I look forward to your return to the program very soon and very often in the future, God willing.
I'd be honored to do so.
Well, thank you so much, and I want to thank everybody who listened today. I hope you all have a very safe and blessed and happy and God-honoring weekend and Lord's Day, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.